Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beeke. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beeke's sermon on Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, the all-powerful physician healing an unclean woman. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beeke spoke of faith needing and coming to Jesus, and opened up what it really means to go to Jesus Christ in faith. Now, Dr. Beeke will speak of faith touching and being rewarded by Jesus, and faith being revealed and affirmed by Jesus. As you listen, may the Spirit of God plant faith in your heart and cause it to flourish and grow.
This woman is in this crowd, you see, and she comes. And she makes her way, and now she gets there, and she touches. Boys and girls, she just touches one of the tassels hanging from the garment of Jesus. And verse 29 says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up." Now we've seen before in the Gospel of Mark that Mark's favorite word is straightway. Immediately, Mark is a man of action. But this is immediate, directly, immediately, this woman feels she's healed. The fountain of her blood stopped. The fountain that is the source of the problem inside of her, wherever it was stopped. She immediately felt whole, a sense of incredible freedom. The sovereign, gracious balm of perfect health seemed to blanket her. It seemed to course through her veins. She stood erect, restored. She had energy. She felt well, physically, spiritually. She could mount up with wings as an eagle. She could run and not be weary. She could walk and not faint. Her whole life changed in a moment. This is actually a perfect picture of justification by faith alone, isn't it? A touch of faith. A touch of faith. By the grace of God, we're justified by God. A touch of faith and our sins are wiped away. Our faith may be weak, it may be fearful, trembling like this woman. But if it's true faith, a genuine touch of faith, we are saved. Not because of our faith, not because of anything we can do. But faith is the means, the way, the instrument through which God works. So we're justified freely by His grace. If there's but a touch, we're forgiven. That's amazing. It's good news. It doesn't mean I need my faith to be to such a degree of strength before I can feel something that, well, maybe there's some hope for me. No, immediately. This woman still had such imperfect faith. It still needed to be matured and refined and purified and needed to grow, but just a touch. And she was healed. You know, you may have seasons of trembling and weak faith, full of shame and unworthiness in your own heart. But if you still have a touch of faith, you see, you're justified, forgiven, cleansed by your God. Mark's description could hardly be simpler. Touched his garment. Three words. But what a depth, what a story lies in this touching. She finally reached him. She elbowed her way through the crowd. She was behind her. We can see her stooping down, touching his garment. She quickly withdraws her hand as if she'd done something bad, as if she'd stolen something. She's so afraid. She quickly turns around. She starts going away again, hoping nobody will notice her. And no one does, except for Jesus. The only one in the whole crowd who notices her. You see, Jesus notices the nobodies and the neediest people, including this timid, bashful, unclean woman who came with an imperfect faith to the throne of grace, touching the hem of his garment. What a lesson there is in this. You see, my friend, if we touch the hem of his garment, which means if we, by the grace of God, put our trust in him alone for salvation, If we take his promises by faith, and lay them back before Him and put our trust in Him. He will. He's promised to honor His own work of faith in us. He will heal. He will grant salvation. It's not an if. It's not a maybe. Now, whether that sense of it flows into our heart in one moment like it does for this woman, or whether it takes a more gradual period of time, of course, we know from other examples in Scripture and in church history and our own experience that God has a variety of ways of making that sense of liberty felt. For one, it's in a moment indeed, like this woman. For another, it takes more time. But the point is that where there's the touch of genuine faith on the Word of God, the promises of God, the Christ of God, there's deliverance. There's deliverance. Because faith has only one object, Jesus. And though that exercise of faith is with a bashful hand or a trembling hand or a fearful hand, like this woman, with a shaken trust, with an imperfect faith, it's graciously rewarded. It's rewarded by Christ's healing power. You see, this is the character of Jesus. Jesus just confirms here, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. A rewarder. Not a reward of merit, but a gracious rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Anyone who diligently seeks the Lord in truth will taste this gracious reward. And so, my friend, you've been hearing about Jesus for years. Some of you for decades, many decades. Have you ever heard in truth? Have you ever obeyed, incline your ear and come to me, saith the Lord? Have you ever looked to Him? That's another expression for touching. Have you ever truly believed in Him? That's another expression for touching. The Bible has lots of expressions for touching by faith. Alexander Cumming has a whole book called ABC of Faith. 25 different words in the Bible. They mean the same thing, really. Believing in Christ, touching Him, looking to Him, coming to Him, hungering after Him. It's all, in essence, the same. It's falling upon Jesus to save me and putting all my trust in His blood and in His righteousness and not relying on anything in myself. I love the way Martin Luther put it. He said, I will have nothing to do with saving myself. Jesus Christ is a Savior, and He's my Savior, and I will leave my soul wholly in His hands. He's the only place to go, but praise be to God, He has everything you need. You don't need another place. His medicine cabinet has the balm of Gilead that is a ubiquitous medicine that can heal anyone from any disease. He's a Savior after all. He's the almighty physician after all. He never misdiagnoses a case. He's altogether all-powerful. And His blood cleanses from all sin. And then Luther, a little bit later in that writing, adds this thought, which I love. I actually have it cut out and pasted to my computer, so I read it every day. When I look to myself, I don't see how I can be saved. But when I look at Jesus, I don't see how I can be lost. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe you need to read that every day too. I'll read it again. When I look to myself, I don't see how I can ever be saved. I'm just an unclean sinner. But when I look at Jesus, I don't see how I can be lost. Because who does He save? Unclean sinners who come to Him. I know what you're going to say. I could just hear the buts beginning. Yeah, but you know, you don't know what a sinful, you don't know who I am. You don't know. I don't know if I've really ever touched Him. Stop with it all. stop with it all. Tonight, he comes to you and says, come to me just as you are. You don't need to leave this house of God tonight, really, do you? With the issue of blood still flowing in you. He can stop it tonight. He can turn you tonight. He can move you to reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord tonight. Aren't you weary of sin? Aren't you weary of trying your false physicians? Go to Jesus. Bring every lust, every sin, every fountain, every wrong thought, every murmuring, every blind spot. Lay it all before Him. Touch Him. Trust His promises. Touch Him in His Word. Take His promises. Lay them before Him. He won't let you down. See, the focus here is not if I may but touch His clothes. It's not if I may but touch His clothes. But the focus is if I may but touch His clothes. He's the answer. He's the answer. Go to Jesus. This woman touched Him. Touched His clothes. It didn't cost her anything. All those other physicians charged her. This was free. But it cost Jesus everything. It cost Him everything. To dry up the fountain of her blood, Jesus had to shed His blood. To heal her by the touch of the hem of His garment, He had to be stripped of His garments on the cross and hang naked and shameful and painful and accursed and die for her. But that's the beauty of Jesus. This wise physician, this all-powerful physician, is not only the physician, but He's also the remedy. He's also the balm. He's everything. He's a precious person, a precious substitute for unclean sinners. He comes. He's worthy to be sought. He's worthy to be touched. And He says, come to me, whoever you are. So we heard a few weeks ago. All ye that are heavy, weary and heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. It's light. I've borne the price for you. Why would you stay away from Jesus? Why? Yeah, but would He save me? Why would He save me? No, you got it just backwards. Why wouldn't He save you? Aren't you a sinner? He came to seek and to save what? Good people? Righteous people? Healed people? Sinners. Now, if you're not a sinner, then you've got a good argument. But if you're a sinner, you have no reason to stay away from Jesus. Zero. In fact, He commands you, come to me just as you are. Verse 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had got, virtue that is power, power had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press that is a throng of people, and said, who touched my clothes? That's amazing. In a flash, He turns around and His eyes are going over the crowd. We know He knew, of course, who touched Him. Even in His human nature, Christ is not ignorant of His own power in healing someone. But He asks this question, not out of ignorance, but because He wants to reveal the healed woman. He wants her faith to come out in the open. He wants her to come forward to glorify Him, to be an evangelist for Him. Who touched my clothes? Luke, in the parallel account, says something quite amazing. He says, they all denied. In other words, it got very quiet, and they all looked around. Did you touch Him? You touch Him? No, I didn't touch Him. I didn't touch Him. No, I didn't touch Him. No, no one touched. But the woman is silent, you see. She's afraid. Oh no, she's going to get in trouble now. daring to go to Jesus, daring to touch him against the law. They all denied. Now you can hear a pin drop. Jesus doesn't say anything. No one is talking. This woman's conscience is thundering. She's afraid. She's trembling, Mark says. But now she can't hold back. Her plans for secrecy are dashed to the ground. She must go public. She can no longer remain a hidden disciple like Nicodemus. Verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, interesting phrase, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I just love this verse. This is beautiful. You see, this is my third point. Faith being revealed and then affirmed by Jesus. With mingled awe and fear and dread, she confesses all the truth. You see, that's what happens when we break open into the gospel. We have no secrets with God anymore, or with man for that matter. We say, I'm unclean, I'm an outcast, but I touched him and he's changed my life. At first glance, you might think, well, it seems to be a confession that her uncleanness is being passed on. No, not quite. Because it says the woman knew what was done in her. The woman knew what was done in her. That's powerful. In the midst of all her fear and trembling, she also had joy. And it can be, especially in the beginning of the way, that we combine within us. When we don't have a full grasp of the gospel, it's not clear, we don't understand the character of Jesus, we can have a certain joy in him, even as we have this terrible fear and dread that somehow we're stealing him by claiming him. How can you steal a true Jesus as a needy sinner? When he says he will receive all who come to him. But we don't realize that at that point. This woman didn't realize it anyway. She comes and she falls down and she tells him all the truth. In front of the whole crowd, she becomes an evangelist. They're all listening. You can just imagine what she says. Oh, Jesus, yes, I'm the woman. I'm the woman that touched thee. But I want you to know, Lord, I had an issue of blood for 12 years. I'm an unclean woman. I'm separated from Israel. I can't go to worship. I'm an outcast. I've suffered for all these years. I went to doctors. No one could help me. I've given all my money. No healing has transpired. But I heard about thee. I heard about thy love for unclean sinners like me. I heard about thy compassion, thy authority, thy power. So I came believing in thee. I came with fear and trembling. I touched thee. And thou hast healed me. And whatever you do with me now, Lord, it's up to thee. I fall into thy hands. But even as she's talking, as she tells all, her faith is growing exponentially. As she's coming out of hiding, as she's confessing everything. You see, faith concealed becomes faith revealed in the hands of Jesus. Jesus won't let his people stay in the dark. They've got to come out. They've got to make it public. She told them all the truth. For the entire crowd to hear. I can actually look around from this pulpit tonight and I can see different faces of people in the last decades who tried to keep it secret that you were a night disciple, even to the point of not attending the Lord's Supper. But then you came to the Lord's Supper for the first time. You couldn't hold back. You had to break out into the open. And there was a sense of liberty given to you. Oh, it's a joy for a Christian to speak openly about his or her Lord. But why did this woman still tremble then and fear so much? Well, it was such a big thing. The unclean touched the clean. And it was against the law. What would Jesus say now? Here she stands. She bows before him. She's just at his feet. She fell down before him. The text says. She just didn't get down on her knees gradually. She just collapsed, as it were. Just, this is who I am. I tell you everything, Lord. Knowing you know everything about me anyway, yet telling you everything about me as if you knew nothing about me. That's the way a sinner, an unclean sinner, comes to this glorious Savior. And what does the Lord do? Oh, woman, how dare you to touch me, the hidden Savior? Of course not. Daughter. The first word from his lips that she ever hears him speak in her entire life is daughter. Daughter. That's an amazing word. I'll never forget the time when I called my son in the presence of someone else, and the man later came alongside me and said, you know, my dad has never called me son my entire lifetime. I really miss that. Daughter means you belong to the family. Jesus is affirming her faith. She doesn't just reveal it, but he affirms it. And this is the only place where Jesus, in all of the Gospels, ever addresses someone in this way who's not a physical daughter or is not part of a general group like the daughters of Jerusalem. He says, weep not for me, O daughters of Jerusalem. But in this context, this special word daughter has great significance. She's heard Jairus refer in Jesus' presence to his precious daughter being at the point of death. And Jesus, picking up on that in the middle of the Jairus story, turns to her and says, my daughter, the object of my love, whatever is going to follow from my lips now, dear, trembling, timid soul, I'm going to address you with all the filial affection and love and compassion of a tender father with his daughter. That's basically spelling out what Jesus is saying, daughter. The first thing he does is he gives her tender assurance that she's part of his spiritual family. So faith concealed became faith revealed, which now becomes faith affirmed. And through this tender word, daughter, the Holy Spirit tonight wants to encourage you, sinner, you who are still hesitating to come to Jesus, to come, not with fearing, not with trembling, not being ashamed, but just come as you are and trust the Savior. This is who he is. This is what he likes. He is like. He will comfort you. He will heal you. He will save you. But then Jesus gives a double affirmation. He adds to his affirmation, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be healed of thy plague. Now, it doesn't mean the faith itself is her salvation, but the faith saved her because the faith was focused on Jesus. You see, faith is, of course, a gift of God. And this woman received this gift, exercised it. It brought her to touch the hem of his garment. And so Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. In the Greek, it's even more beautiful. Literally, go into peace. Go into peace. That is your future, woman. Be thou whole from this plague. What a comfort this is for this woman. She heard who Jesus was. She heard what he was. She heard what he did. She heard his name, and she believed. She experienced, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, and we could add the daughters of God, even to them who believe on his name. You can imagine. Well, maybe we can't imagine. What must have flowed through that mind of that woman when she expected Jesus to reject her. And instead he gives her a double affirmation, a double assurance that her faith is true. She came outwardly trembling because of the magnitude of her fear within. And Jesus smothers her fears with the words of assurance that she's part of the family, the spiritual family. And then with the unequivocal assurance that faith was wrought, has wrought her healing because it brought her into living contact with the power of Christ. And then he gives her the command to go out under the canopy of the peace of the God of the covenant with her plague gone. Well, let me close this sermon tonight by answering this question. Why exactly did Jesus want this woman to make this all public and expose all her thoughts? I just want to give you a couple quick reasons as we close. First, to show her and you and me today, there's never any advantage in hiding anything from Jesus. You don't have to hide anything from God. You see, it's like a child in the family. It's very painful to hear your child sin, but you're not going to disown your child when your child tells you with tears, "I have sinned." You don't disown your son or your daughter. And so, you see, you can share everything going on in your life with Jesus. That's one of the joys of being a Christian. You don't have to hide anything anymore. You're received the way you are. And he makes you better. He helps you put off the old man and put on the new man and live more fully for him. You may tell him all the truth, like this woman did. All the truth. Second, he wanted her to tell the whole story to encourage the most unclean sinner, also sitting here tonight, to come to this Savior with all your needs, all your diseases. Though there are 1,000 multitudes around you and numerous impediments against you within you, he's saying to you tonight, like he said to the man, the impotent man, stretch out your hand, stretch out your arm, and you shall be clean. Not one word of rebuke will be given to you. In fact, he'll give you the grace as you try to do the impossible to stretch out your arm. He gave this woman the grace to do the impossible, to believe on the Son of God and to come. That's what he does. And like this woman, not one word of rebuke will be given to you when you go to the Savior.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."